Praise God. If you have the Bible, let's turn to Numbers 14, verse 6 to 11. Numbers 14, verse 6 to 11. Numbers 14, 6 to 11. Okay, it says here, Father, anoint this message right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you for the time of worship and praise. Praise God. Numbers 14, 6 to 11. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Zephaneth, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And he spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stone. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will these people provoke me? How long will it before they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? Father, right now, I pray that you just anoint this message. Let your people receive the word of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Okay, I'm going to title my message this morning, Evil, Bad Report. Evil, bad report. Let's look at the background of the story. Two men, Caleb and Joshua, brought the same facts. 12 people went to see the land, and the facts was there. They all have the same facts. Caleb and Joshua brought the same facts as the others. What is the difference? The facts is the same. But what is the difference in their report? The difference is in their interpretation of the facts, because Caleb and Joshua included God. When you see yourself as a grasshopper in the presence of giant, then that is when you need God. These people, certainly all the 12 leaders and all the people of Israel, they really needed God. Caleb and Joshua insisted that if God would delight in them, he will bring them into the land. But how can God delight in them unless they believe God? You only delight in God when you believe in God. They must trust God. The Bible here said that Joshua and Caleb said that the people of Canaan are bread for us. Okay, it is like our idiom today. Like saying, these people in the land will be like bulalo soup for us. Very nice food for us to eat. How can they be so confident for Caleb and Joshua? They have faith in God. You know, it's a very, very sad thing that 10 people say, we seem like grasshopper in our own eyes, and we look like grasshopper, we look the same to them. They are saying that we are grasshopper, and the enemy look at them the same way, grasshopper. We are grasshopper, and the enemy look at us as grasshopper. The meaning here is the mindset of the people, of the 10 people. Of these 10 people, their mindset is a mindset of fear, inferiority, and unbelief. That is how they see themselves. You know, you go through life, in fear, in inferiority, and in unbelief. They see things in the world as, they face people, they face situation, and their mindset in their life is always fear, unbelief, and inferiority. It is how they see themselves. They see themselves as grasshopper. When you have this mindset, fear will shrink you. Fear will shrink you. And the sad thing is that they shrunk you. I think they forgot about God's past victories. You see, the children of Israel saw the Red Sea open. No people in the whole world have seen the Red Sea open. They saw manna came down from heaven. Food came down from heaven. They eat heavenly food. And not only that, they saw the destruction of the whole Egyptian country with the 10 plagues. They saw, like we all see so many victories, past victories in our life, and many a time we forgot about the past victories that have come into our life. When I face a problem, I will look back and say, God, you have pulled us through in the past. You will pull us through this time again. Giants, the word giants, represent overwhelming realities in everyday lives. Giants are real. Overwhelming realities in everyday life. What are the overwhelming realities in everyday life? The giant here symbolizes financial pressure. Some of you have financial pressure. Health crisis. Some of you have health crisis. Strong enemies. Some of you have strong enemies. Hostile culture. Some of you have hostile culture. Seemingly impossible assignment given to you. These are the realities of life. You see, the story told in Numbers chapter 14, verse 6 to 11 is simple yet very, very vivid. Very applicable to our life. The people stood at the edge of the promised land. We are worse than them. They stood at the edge of the promised land, but fear filled the camp. We are worse than them. We are inside the edge of the promised land. We are inside the promised land because Jesus already died at the cross of Calvary for our lives. Yet, because Christ has died for the sins of our life, yet, and when we are in the promised land, yet fear filled our life. Fear filled our life in whatever we face. The 10 spies spoke words that crushed the heart of the people. The land is too dangerous. The people are too strong. We will be destroyed. And the whole community began to weep and complain and rebel against Moses and Aaron. This is the majority report. Evil vet report are always, more often than not, the majority report. Don't follow majority. They are always evil bad report. It is 10 people against 2 people. It is 83% against 17%. In the midst of the chaos, 2 people stood up. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Zephaniah, they stepped forward. They are the minority report holder. They tore their clothes, a sign of deep grief. They were in grief. They were not in grief because of the giants. No. They were in grief not because of the giants. They were in grief because of the unbelief of God's people. They cried to the whole entire assembly. The land we explore, the land that God has promised us, the promise that God has want to give to our life. The things that God has presented before us for us in the future. The life that is ahead of us that God wants us to give us is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delight in us, He will bring us into the land and give it to us. A land flowed with milk and honey. Milk and honey represent plenteous, plenteous supply, plenteous blessing. Only do not believe, rebel against the Lord. Do not fear the people of the land. They are bread for us. Their protection is gone. The Lord is with us. Do not fear them. This is what the 2 spies says. This passage of scripture speaks very loudly in our time today. In our time today. Even in the culture of the church. In today's context, it is very real. These giants are very real. And they are in our everyday ways. What can we learn? When facts are real, but God is left out. When facts are real, but God is left out. The facts that you are facing are real, but you have left out your God. The giants were real. The giants were real. The cities were fortified. Opposition was real. That was no lie. There was no lie at all. Look at today's example. My finances really are very tight. My health issues is real. Serious. My family situation is so complicated. My family is a mess. I have a messy family. Messy family. The culture of society is hostile to the Christian faith. These are all real. Real. True. But the bad evil report stops there. Joshua and Caleb did not deny reality, but they included God in it. Faith does not ignore the facts. Faith refuses to exclude God. I say again, faith does not ignore the facts, but faith refuses to exclude God. Let's talk about our first everyday example. My finances are tight. My finances are tight. Sounds very real. Joshua and Caleb didn't know how God would do it. They just trusted God for who He is. When money is tight, if your finances is tight, obey in small things. Obedience is risky. So is Joshua and Caleb when it comes to obedience, which is risky. Oh, it is risky. But I don't call it risk. I call it faith. Obedience is faith. What kind of obedience? Obedience in small things. Small things. Continue with integrity in your life. Do not steal. When I was in Ilolo Supermarket, Haro, Pastor Lily was somewhere. I put my wallet and my phone in the basket trolley. It was like, I put it here because the chicken wings that I want to get was on this side. The next moment, I noticed two men were standing beside me. And I was still, but my eyes was watching my wallet. Yes, Pastor Lily. Then a lady came. She just happily go inside the basket and grab my wallet and phone. I say, hey! She was shocked. You know what she say? Oh, I thought that the wallet and the phone belongs to my husband. I tell you, she was shocked and scared. I want to tell you about life. Don't steal. Don't steal. The Bible says if you steal, you have to return 7 times. There's a lady in this church that stole Pastor Lily's iPad and my iPad in our house. Her daughter died. I want to tell you something. Don't. Okay, don't steal from the servants of God even. Do not steal. Be honest in your dealings. Be honest in money. Pay your tithes. These are the small things. Be generous in your spirit, even when the amount that you have to give is small. Be generous. These are obeying the small things. Be wise in your spending when your finance is tight. Spend only on essentials. All these are obedience. Obedience. You know, sometimes we say, God, you say you are so great, you are so powerful. How come you did not help me in my finance? Then I ask you, did you obey in the small things in life? You know, many a time we blame God when the things are not fine. God, why is it these things happening to my life? Yet we forgot. God said, you have to obey me in certain things. All these are obedience. And obedience often unlocks provision after. obedience, not before. It unlocks provision after obedience. Why the supply did not come? Because it wasn't unlocked. Because of disobedience. I can only give you Pastor Lydia my example. We lost our job in 2012 without salaries. We spend only on essentials. You know, Pastor Lily's, her cabinet has a key and there's a box. A box. Inside got a few thousand peso. Until today, I said, dear, why don't you spend? The money, the notes are so old that the bank also don't want anymore. She said, no, I want to remember what God did for me. She sell cakes. During those times, she sell cakes. And the box is to remind her where she come from. And she make some, and she remembered where she obeyed in small things. We did not go out to eat for 2-3 years. Do you know that? We did not go out to eat for 2-3 years. We always eat at home. Obey in small things. We spend only on essential and full-time staff. You have to be very fair to Pastor Lily and I. You have to be fair. You complain a lot. You say that we affected you all. In all those months from 2012 until now, 2026, there's not a single month we did not give you salaries. Every month, we did not cheat you on your salaries. Pastor Lily and I were without salaries for years. That is integrity. And whatever our children gave us, and whatever our house renter gave us, we pay our tithes. If somebody gave me 100, I pay 15%. I tell you frankly, like Pastor Lily, she's selling something. She didn't say, oh, all the money mine. 15% goes. Some of you pay tithes for your salary. But when you get extra, you, oh, this is all mine. No! That is integrity. Integrity before you and God. When we raise money for community giving, we try our best to be generous. We try our best to set the example. We have never cheated God on our tithing. All these 14 years. And our tithing is not 10%, but 15%. Besides giving extra on our yearly faith pledge or special community giving. Every single cent given to us by our children, we tithe. That is integrity. If my daughter give me this amount for my birthday, we tithe. Sometimes Pastor Lily is very strict on me. Say, do you pay tithe? Because you give me allowance. Do you pay tithe on your allowance? Yes, dear, I pay my tithe. Every single cent given to us by our children, we tithe. It seems risky because bad times, money is tight. I can testify that this obedience unlocks provision after you obey the smaller things, the small things. You know what happened? I don't have money to send Jen to university. Yet she studied in France. And the government spent 34 million peso on her. That is 500,000 euros. You want to talk about God returning you back? You want to talk about you bargaining with God in giving? No, you want to talk about windows that's open and God give you a blessing that is no room to contain it. We do not have money to renovate our house. We are going over. Yet somehow recently, the money just multiplied and multiplied. And I want to declare, that we have more than enough for our home renovation. And my home renovation will cost us at least 4 million peso. How? Pastor Lee and me, we don't have savings. We don't have savings. But this fund just grew and grew and grew and grew. Doubled in the span of a few, 2 years. What was our altitude all these 14 years? Like Joshua and Caleb, we don't know. Like you said, we do not know how God would do it. But we just trusted who God is. We replace our fear talk with daily faith talk of our finances. Yeah, our finances. We talk faith when money is tight. We stop rehearsing the worst case scenarios. We speak the scripture aloud and we speak the truth aloud. Our practice, discipline and attitude has always been, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. The song. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I have God with me. I will not die. I speak the word aloud in my mind. I speak the word aloud in my mouth. I will say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. God has brought me so far. He will continue with me in my future walk. God, your God will not fail you. The bad times, the bad season do not defy us. God defies us. I give you the latest example. Okay, if you talk about the blessing of God in your life 10 years ago, I'll tell you something is wrong already. You must talk about the blessing of God one month ago, a few weeks ago. I give you the latest example. You see, we are going back. We cannot rent out our house because the renovation of the house will take around 4 months. We don't have a place to stay for that 4 months. And that 4 months, we don't have renter coming in for us. No allowances for the house renter for 4 months. And we still need to rent a place to stay. We obey in smaller things. To be practical, we decided to stay in Johor Bahru, Malaysia. Yet it still costs us 50,000 peso a month. Pastor Lily said, she will try to save. Sell the house thing. You know what happened? The family that rented our house said she wants to extend the rent. And we cannot evict them because in the contract it was given that they had a half a year extension on their favor. And Pastor Lee said, I must go back in this month. By this month, I need to go back. I need to renovate fast. I need to, so that we can continue in our rental. You know what happened? The lady that transacted, the agent that helped us to get the tenant to rent our place, called up Pastor Lee. See, I know that you are very troubled. Then Pastor Lee said, actually, we were trying already to stay in Johor Bahru. Oh, I have a condominium in Johor Bahru. An agent, okay? I think she's a Christian. I have a condominium, Paragon, very good condo, okay? Why don't you stay there for 4 months free? You want to talk about coincidence? Pastor, it's coincidence. You want to talk about coincidence? Then I will tell you that there are multiples and multiples of coincidences in my life. All these 14 years. I will tell you that. It was the bad times in 2012 that my eyes opened. I'm beginning to see the tremendous miracles of God's in my life, in my Pastor Lily's life. I'm beginning to see things that I have never seen before. I begin to see the tremendous blessing in the hand. I began to see the invisible hand of God. If you say there is coincidence, I say no. It is the invisible hand of God that is at work in our life. But obey the smaller things in your life. Listen, the Lord is your shepherd. You shall not lack. God has brought you thus far. He will continue with you in your future walk. The bad times, the bad season, 2012, do not define us. God define our life. Some of God's most trusted, faithful servants went through extreme lack. Yet God's faithfulness is not cancelled by the lack. Let's talk about the second thing. The second everyday real example. Health issues. God told me just now to pray for those that are sick. How about health issues? You see, health issues is different. It hits you differently. Okay, money problem is stressful. But health issue affect you personally, internally. You feel very personal when it comes to health issue. Like your body is turning against you. Let's talk about health issues. Very real in everyday life. Some of you, I know you are sick. Health struggles carries fear, hidden fears. What if this gets worse? What if I don't recover? Why is this happening to me? Am I still useful? Joshua and Caleb did not pretend there was no giant of health issues, okay? To our days. Faith starts with truthful acknowledgement, not denial. And God is not threatened by your honest fear. So we ask, Pastor, what must I do? I got health issues. Go for checkup. Take medication as prescribed. Rest when your body demands it. Ask question. Understand your condition. Try to understand why your conditions. Medicines and wisdoms are not enemies of faith. If medicines is the enemies of faith, there won't be a Luke that wrote the Gospel of Luke. Luke was a doctor for a reason. He was a doctor for a reason. Paul told Timothy to take medical prescription. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Job was righteous, yet he had boils in his life. Illness is not proof of your weak faith. Do not be like the 10th spy with the evil report. And you see the evil report, you see the health issue. Oh, you just see the evil report only. Watch out for your thoughts, the dangerous evil report thoughts. This will never change. I'm a burden. God is silent. I will die in the wilderness. This is the end. No. In sickness, replace this evil report with this faith report. God is still present. God is still alive. This does not define me. I'm more than my diagnosis. When you say to yourself, what you say to yourself matters more than when you are weak. When you are sick, you do not have to be strong. You don't have to explain everything. You don't have to carry the faith alone. Remember, I love the song, remember me. Rather than evil report, remember me, God. Joshua and Caleb say, the Lord is with us. The promise is not the absence of the giant or the sicknesses. The promise is the presence of God. Make this faith prayer. Lord, you see my body and fear. I do not understand the reason or the season, but I trust that you are still with me. Give me strength daily. How about family issues? The third example. Family's issue. Some of you got very complicated family. You come from broken family. You are orphan. Your husband is not the person that you have married him to be. Your children are rebellious. How about family issues that is complicated? There are so many complicated families, even in the church. You know, family's issues are the hardest. The hardest. Why is my husband like that? Why did I marry him in the first place? Maybe that is what Pastor Lily say about me all the while. You cannot clock them out. You cannot fix the people you love. You cannot. You cannot clock. You know what? When you clock them up, just write them off. You cannot. You cannot fix the people you love.
I cannot clock out Joy and Ben. I cannot clock out Jen and Daryl. I cannot clock out Elise, Noah, and now Louise. My third grandchild was born just yesterday. I tell you frankly, I cannot fix these people. I love a lot. This is exactly what Numbers 14 becomes painfully real for your life situation. Family pains comes with guilt. Maybe I did something wrong. If I were godlier, this would not be happening to my family. Scripture is very honest when it comes to family. Very honest. Joseph's family was broken. Jacob's family was broken. Joseph's 11 brothers were really broken people. David's family was messy, so messy. Jesus' own family misunderstood him. Jesus' 12 disciples are always quarreling and fighting. Who wants to be the head? You know, many a time Pastor Lily and I felt Joy and Jen became disillusioned and misunderstood God because of 2012. To be very, very honest, okay? To say that they are disillusioned with God today is real, it's real. But has God forgotten them? No. I thank God, God did not forget them. I thank God they still go to church every Sunday. I thank God they still have cell group in their house. To be honest, I'll be very honest with you. I felt maybe my parenting is wrong. I ever say sorry to Joy. I ever say sorry to Joy. I only also felt that if I had been godlier, if I had been godlier, this would not have been happened. The disillusion with pastoral leadership would not have happened. But God told me all this has happened is not proof of your spiritual failure. To tell you honestly, concerning my children, I love them. I love them without, I can love them without agreeing with them. I can love them without agreeing with them. Pastor Lily has this determination that when we are finally back in Singapore, we will, with God's help, stop the unhealthy behavior through educating our grandchildren. You know, Pastor Lily bought a pictorial Bible for Elise. And Joy would open the Bible and let Elise see. She bought the Bible. Let Elise read the picture. Then one day, Elise was in church. She was playing. The preacher was preaching. Then the preacher talks about David. Elise, David. She went to Joy's chair, sit on the lap of Joy, and start listening the story of David. Our determination is to stop gentleness, the unhealthy behavior, by speaking biblical truth and educating them. I can choose peace in my family without arguing, even though I don't agree with what they are believing. But I can bombard heaven. I can bombard heaven for their spiritual life. But this one thing I know, and that you have to know, my children are still God's chosen people, even in rebellion. Or I shouldn't say they are rebellion, even in disillusionment. Faith in family's complication many a times looks like endurance grace. No dramatic breakthrough. You invite God into the tension. Invite God into the tension of the family issues. You look at your husband. Your husband never changed, right? Why don't you invite God? Yeah, why don't you invite God? Say, God, you got to help me. Into the tension. And God's peace. Let's talk about tension, okay? I told you that Joy gave birth yesterday. 1 or 2 months ahead, before. No, 1 month before. Ago, 1 month ago. In our group chat, she say, I'm old already. I don't have the strength. I think I'll go for CX. Say, Joy. I wrote that. I say, Joy, what are you talking about? Where can't you have faith? that you have a normal delivery, no CX. You know what CX? Caesarean. CS, sorry, not CX. CS. You know what happened? Last Saturday morning, 2:45 a.m., she texts. There is contraction. Okay, when I say that to Joy, she was silent. She was silent. I bring the truth in. I bring God in. She was silent. She said, okay. Do you know that? She has normal delivery. She took only 5 hours to deliver the baby. Normal delivery, 5 hours. You want to talk about having God in your life? Obey the smaller things. God peace often arrive before situation change. My grounded prayer is this: God, you see the tension in the family. You see the history, you see the pain. Give me wisdom to love them well, strength to set healthy boundary, peace that does not depend on others changing. Be with me in this family complication. You all love your family, okay? I know you love your family a lot. I know that you love your child, you love your daughters, you love your son, you love them a lot. And you have family issues. I just want to tell you, bring God into the tension. Bring God into the tension. How about culture? Our culture is hostile to faith. Okay, Numbers 14 is very, very applicable to our context. The culture here is that it does not shout out. The people in the world does not shout out, reject God. No, no. It quietly pressurizes you to stay silent, to blend in with the culture, and to soften the truth that you have always believed. Make you a compromiser. You know, for many years, I was very ashamed of telling people I'm a missionary and I'm a pastor. That is outright of being ashamed of God. And God said, if I'm ashamed of Him, He will be ashamed of me. Well, Luke 9:26 is very clear. Whoever is ashamed of me and my words and of Him, the Son of Man, will be ashamed when He comes in His glory and in the glory of God, the Father and the Holy Angel. Jesus is talking about loyalty. Loyalty. To be ashamed is not just denying Him loud. It is like hiding our faith. Hiding our faith to fit into the culture. To fit into the culture. To fit into society. It is, I just believe privately. I refuse to show it and live it publicly. Jesus is saying that if you distance yourself from me now, I cannot represent you when the Son of Man comes. No, our faith can become not just momentarily weakness. It can become a lifestyle, a position in your life. You want to take position of a silent weakness. God doesn't want secret disciples. God wants beloved witnesses. We must face the fact that our culture is hostile to God, to Jesus, and to faith. Many hostility today does not come through violence. They are not violence. It comes through the tone of their word, the tone of the society towards you. Look at the everyday example. Faith is to be treated as private, never public. Don't talk about your faith in public. Biblical conviction is outdated and harmful. Every young people needs to have sex before they get married. So the church, young people must follow. And it is good to practice sex before marriage so that your marriage will be better as a result of premarital sex. This is a concept of the world. I want to tell you something. If you have sex before marriage, and after marriage, you will always wonder, will my husband do it with other people? I tell you, there's distrust, there's fear. There's distrust, there's fear. Will my husband do it? You are fine believing, just don't live it visibly. And the hostility, okay, about this education, the peer pressure, sounds very, very common sense. Sounds even wise. It's so wise to have sex before marriage. It's so, everybody are doing it. Why are you not doing it? You are the minority report holder. The majority report holders are saying that is wisdom, that is knowledge. It's common sense.
It is the same today. The tone of today is this. They mock and they subtly ridicule your faith. They limit your career move. They label you extreme, fanatic, naive.
Oh, when I was in my 20s, a lot of people call me fanatic. In Singapore, they call me fanatic. I don't care. Social exclusion. The threat is not always punishment. They isolate you. Young people, your prayer pressure is, you're so afraid of being left out. And many people don't fall away in one big moment. You don't fall away in one big moment. You really love God. You really want to serve God. Okay? You really want to serve God. You started well. Who did hinder you? The peer pressure. The outside world. I believe you really love God and you want to serve God. But you are not what you are today. You've fallen because of peer pressure. You're so afraid of being left out. You don't fall away in one big moment. Slowly, you edict your faith, so you can survive socially, so you can survive in the peer group. They are going picnic on a Sunday. They are telling me that I must come. I must go. Do you know that? I'm not saying something. Do you know that I have a group of Buddhist friends? When they were very, very close to me. But when I became a Christian, I cut them off because their faith and my faith are different. And I come to church and I have new friends. I have friends in the church. That should be their way. That should be their way in life. They will slowly edict your faith to survive socially. Everyday reality is that you will lose approval. You will feel misunderstood. And you stand alone in your faith, in your conversation. So what is God in this hostile culture? God never promised comfort. God promised His presence. Faith is not constant arguing. I'm not asking you to go and fight with them over faith, arguing over what you believe. It is quiet integrity at work, refusing to lie even when you are expected to lie, live differently without announcing it, and speaking when God prompts you to speak and not react. Like this Asian, I think she's a Christian. She never said that she's a Christian, but she sent gifts for this church. For this church. Prompts, speak, do not exact. Joshua and Caleb do not shout insult. He did not shout insult. They spoke the truth clearly. Daniel in Babylon. Who is higher than Daniel in Babylon? I want to tell you something. We are all Christian brothers and sisters. Whatever position, whatever situation, whatever high post you have, we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. Daniel in Babylon is faith without provocation. I mean, Babylon is powerful. Babylon is intelligent. Babylon did not openly go against Christianity. They just tried to re-educate Christianity. They did not ban the faith outright. They tried to re-educate God's people. This is so like my country. We are a racial. We do not want to have racial differences. We want to have a racial harmony in Singapore. The Chinese, the Malay, the Muslim, and the Indian. We want to have racial harmony. So you cannot evangelize, you cannot share the gospel to other religion. Singapore, like that. You cannot go to hospital and share the word of God. You cannot go to the public park, the plaza, to share the word of God. You cannot. Because of racial harmony. So like my country. What did Daniel do? He respected authority. That's why we are against protests. We are against street demonstration. You have to respect authority. But he quietly refused practices that violated God's law. He prayed consistently, even when it became illegal. Faith for Daniel doesn't need to be loud, but it is non-negotiable for Daniel. When the moment comes, even he have to go to the lion's den, he will go to the lion's den. Daniel does not every day, I'm a Christian, okay? I believe in God, okay? You do not believe in God. You shall die, you shall go to hell. No. He demonstrated his faith by his everyday living. Then they say, you cannot pray. He still pray. Why are you praying? Because I believe the only God. They throw him into prison, to the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, examples of courage without hatred. This is like Muslim country. State mandated Muslim worship. Everyone must bow and believe in Muslim or die. I cannot talk like that in Singapore. Okay? If I'm asked to preach like this in Singapore, I will get into prison. Thank God I'm in the Philippines. Yet their faith is such a hostile country, they did not insult the king. They did not organize a protest or a revolt. They simply refused to bow. They say, our God is able to deliver us. And even if God doesn't deliver us, I will tell you that we will not serve your God. We will not serve your God. Esther is wisdom without compromise. Esther live in a culture where there's genocide. Don't say that there's no genocide. One day there can be genocide against the Christians. She did not reveal everything that she's a Christian or Jews at once. She fasted before she acted, and she spoke when the moment is right. Joseph lived in a culture with integrity under pressure. This is for the young people today. Our culture today is moral compromise is normal. Power mattered more than righteousness. Joseph, you want to talk about why Joseph is so well beloved by God? Joseph's faith is refusing sexual sin when no one is watching. I say to you, young people, God told me that you really love God. But because of this sexual problem, you are drifting further and further and further away from God. You got to come back and believe this to be the standard Bible teaching. You know, I have a friend. He felt that Singapore is really not livable because of all these things. So he brought his whole family, he's rich, he brought his whole family to another country to live. And he go and met, Rowella. He met Rowella in the Muslim country. And Rowella said that, I'm from Pastor Tony's church. Then he tried to talk to me. I said, who is this girl? I don't know. Then later, she used to be my youth president. But he left Singapore to go to a Muslim country and stay. It's like, you go from Israel to Moab. You understand me now? You, what happened to Noemi? He left his countrymen because there is a crisis in his country, and he went to stay in Moab because Moab was very prosperous at that time, and he lost everything. Number two, I'm finishing. We stand at the border of promise. Many a time we forgot that we're standing at the border of promise. We are ready to go in. Just like Israel, we often stand at the edge of what God has promised. You are at the edge of what God is going to give you. Even in this church, we have 83% that do not believe, but 17% that believe. God spoke clearly that we are at the border of the promises that God has for this church. There's going to be a new season. There's going to be a new calling. There's going to be obedience that costs something. There's going to be stepping out with faith in ministry, family, integrity, and forgiveness. This land is good, but it looks challenging. The test is not whether God promises is good, but whether you trust God enough to move forward. 83% will say it's not realistic. Times are different now. You live in a stone age. Why you believe in such old Bible belief faith? You will fail. Others tried and didn't make it. These voices often use facts. True. The facts is facts. But they left out one thing. They left out God. Fear sounds very reasonable. Faith sounds risky. Only 17% has great report. Yet a minority versus Joshua, Caleb were the only two who were killed for speaking their faith. Faith does not always mean being supported. But listen carefully. In the eyes of God, the 83% are rebellious. You know, some of you, you know, God just told me, say that the people, they are rebellious, they're actually very evil, very wicked, and yet they do not know that they are very evil, very wicked. God looked at them as rebellion, evil, wicked, people filled with unbelief. They are not going against Joshua and Caleb. They are going against God. God said to this 83%, how long are you going to despise me? How? They reject God, complaining, refusing to move forward, choosing fear over trust. Unbelief is rebellion. I believe in all my heart that God wants this church to move forward. And God is looking for the 18%. And God said about Caleb, listen carefully, this is very important. He has a different spirit. God is looking for people that has a different spirit. Caleb has a different spirit. He trusts God in uncertainty. He obeys even when the outcomes doesn't look good. His courage was rooted in God, in God's presence, not self-confidence. His courage, his faith, he has a different spirit. His courage was not because of self-confidence, self-ability. No, faith doesn't say you are strong. Faith says, the Lord is with me. And I say to the 18%, move your senior pastor Daxine. God is on your side. God will intervene when your faith is threatened. God will defend your truth. God will honor your faith. And God will take unbelief seriously. You know, God's honest faith is not just a nice phrase. It is a biblical principle that runs through the whole Bible. Do you know that in heaven, you'll still be using faith? I believe that we will, I don't know how to explain to you, I believe that we will populate all the planets of the world. I believe that maybe you are given a planet to conquer a planet. And I believe that you need faith to go into that planet to occupy that planet. And there are millions and trillions of planets. And you need faith. I believe that faith will still be present when you are in heaven. Because God said three remain. Faith, hope, and love. All these three will continually be available until the end, eternally. Faith is trusting God even when you do not see the outcome immediately. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is a decision of the heart, not just being faithful or hopeful. Faith is acting on God's promises before circumstances make sense. You know, I love Abraham. The Bible says Abraham left his hometown without knowing where he was going. I left Singapore in 1986 for Philippines, which I know nothing about Philippines. My major subject is history. I studied Europe. I studied Southeast Asia, except Philippines. I studied America. I studied many countries, but I never studied Philippines. I knew nothing about Philippines, zero about Philippines. Yet I left this country, my country, come to the Philippines without knowing where I was going. But Caleb and Joshua believe God's promise about Canaan despite the giant. God honors those who move forward in trust. I love faith. I really love faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith shows God we value His word above our circumstances. When the 83% saw the giant, faith saw God's promise. Say, faith saw God's hand. Faith saw that God is with them. The 33% say, I may be afraid, but God is bigger than my situation. You know, in my 40 years of stay here, I was afraid thousands of times. I say to you again, in these 40 years, I was afraid thousands of times. But I always believe God is bigger than any situation. Faith is not passive. Faith is obedience rooted in trust. This is what God means by Joshua have a different spirit. Caleb have a different spirit. Caleb have a faith spirit. Caleb have a faith spirit. What happened to faith? Faith positions us for God's intervention. Hebrews is full of stories. When there is faith, full of stories, what happens when there is the faith spirit? Doors open, miracles, eternal rewards. Because God responds to faith. God responds to faith. Not because faith earns God, but because faith aligns ourselves with God's power. Pastor Lily and I continue to see doors open, continue to see miracles, victories. We are not saying that we don't fail. We fail, but when we fail, we always come back to God. We continue to see miracles, victories, and eternal rewards awaiting us. You ask, Pastor, what kind of faith do you have? My faith honors God by showing reliance on God, not self-reliance. My faith says, I cannot do this on my own, but I trust God will guide me, provide me, and protect me. And this pleases God because God is glorified in your miracles. Doors open, victory. Jesus is glorified when we depend on Him. Put it in today's perspective. God honors faith in everyday life. Peace in uncertainty, direction in confusion, strength for obedience. I've said this so many times in my 40 years of stay. I say this during the most difficult times of my life. I say, God, I have no one to trust but You. I have no other gods to go to except You. I have nowhere to go except You. I say this so many times in my life. I have no one to turn to except You. Was my faith tested? Of course. I always remember 2012 in Singapore, passing by a synagogue, seeing the Jews, God's people. I was driving past the synagogue and I cried from the deepest cry of my heart. Say, God, have You forsaken me? Where are You, God? Where are You? That Sunday, I went to church. God said, go back to the Philippines. Go back. Very clear. Go back to the Philippines. And I did. I exercised faith. Faith is choosing to trust God over fear. God honors that faith by acting on His promises, giving you peace, courage, sometimes miraculous outcome. You know, it's very exciting to see miracles when you have faith. It's very, very exciting. Conclusion. Faith is the heart of the gospel. Everything about faith points to Jesus Christ. He's both the object of our faith and the perfect example of our faith. God sent His Son Jesus to come to earth, and His perfect example of faith was demonstrated while He was here on earth. Yet despite His perfect faith, He was abandoned by God at the cross. Why? Because of your imperfect faith. Because of your unbelief and your faithlessness and your sin. So that when Jesus was resurrected, we can look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our life. Now, this is one of the most important verses of all the Bible in my life. Jesus, You are the author and the finisher of my life. You write the book about me. When Jesus died on the cross, faith is resurrected in us when we believe. You can have faith. Just a small mustard seed of faith. Your faith begins and ends with Jesus. Just like Joshua and Caleb trusted God about Canaan, we trust God's promises, salvation, guidance, deliverance, protection, provision, and facing everyday giants. Jesus is bigger than any giants in your life. Bigger than your fear, bigger than your sicknesses, bigger than your financial, bigger than your tension family, bigger than your financial lack, bigger than your hostile culture. Our faith pleases God because it points to His Son. Because when God looks at your faith, God looks at Jesus' faith, and it pleases Him because Christ died so that you can have faith of Christ. Put it correctly. You need to be the 13% to have faith. To have faith. I want to pray for faith. When you sing the song, I want you to sing the song yesterday. If faith can move the mountain, let the mountain be removed. The song. Okay, I want those people that are sick. Okay, I'm going to exercise faith for you. I want you to come to the front. And I want the elders, I want every other people to stand behind them. Okay, those of you that are sick, you have health issues, just come to the front. Okay, as we sing. Then we're going to exercise faith and pray for those that are in health crisis. Shall we all stand up? Let's sing the song first. Let's sing the song first. Shall we all stand up? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, just